آواز بلند صلوات انشاءالله. اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله رب العالمین، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Really, alhamdulillah for the blessing of iman, the blessing of health and opportunity that we had, inshallah, by the grace of God, to meet the obligation of fasting one more year in our life. As I'm speaking to you, this is the last night of the holy month of Ramadan and of this year. And God knows whether next year I will be alive, I will be able to meet this obligation or not. Ya Allah, if this is your will, that this Ramadan is my last Ramadan, Ya Allah, do not make me step out of this holy month unless my sins are forgiven, my supplications are granted, and I'm inshallah among those who are freed from the hellfire. And if you are going to bless me to come to you inshallah in the coming years as well, bless me so that inshallah I can have this shield, as sawmu junnah, this shield for myself for as many times as possible. And Ya Allah, include us among those who enter your paradise, everlasting paradise, from the gate of Rayyan. That gate of Rayyan is exclusively for the fasters and those who fasted during the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa'alamu انما غنمتم من شيء فان لله خمسه وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل ان كنتم امنتم بالله وما انزلنا على عبدنا صلغ الله العلي العظيم. Last night, اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجه. Last night we opened a new topic about the fiscal purification and flourishing, about the zakat, and inshallah tonight will be the second part of that discussion. This is in preparation to approaching Eid al-Fitr and the obligation of zakat al-Fitr. Just to recap and refresh your memory, we mentioned that one of the obligations in Islam, along with the worshipping act, that in itself also another aspect of the worshipping act, is zakat in general. So much so that you hardly, perhaps you never find any ayah in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to pray, that along with that the command for zakat is not coupled and not mentioned. Aqimu salat wa atu zakat, yuqimuna salat wa yu'tuna zakat. This is a very general phrase in the Quran, so much so that Imam Ridha alayhi salam says that on the day of judgment, my file of salat and zakat will be opened together. If accepted, both will be accepted. Rejected, both will be rejected. It is not becoming of a Muslim, and it will not be accepted from a Muslim to say that I was praying but I was never paying my zakat, or I was not among those who are yuqimun as-salat wa yu'tun az-zakat, or he is giving the charity, he is very generous but without salat. So these two come together, go together. It's just a package. You cannot separate them from each other. In as much as Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, it's good to mention the rest of the hadith quickly as well, that Imam Ridha alayhi salam says that silatul rahim and taqwa also are packaged together. You see, the Quran, when talks about silatul rahim, couples it with taqwa. The first ayah of Surah An-Nisa, To cut a long story short, that means an example, a very important example of taqwa is keeping the bond of relation, salatul rahim, as we are talking about. Alright, the third one also to complete the hadith is that Imam Ridha alayhi salam says you cannot be grateful to God and ungrateful to your parents. Being grateful to parents and grateful to God also they are coupled in the Quran. أَنِشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ. God says to be grateful to me and to your parents. So if one is not grateful to his parents, he would not be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either. So these two obligations are mentioned together, and that's why it's important for us to get to know about them. Another ayah that we have about the zakat, and here I mentioned before, I shared with you the ayah in Surah Al-Anfal about the khums. I need to clarify this one, that some they say that so much in the Quran emphasis is given to zakat, but there is only one ayah about the khums. How come that we as Shia we don't pay zakat but we pay khums? First of all, as I prepared the discussion last night, inshallah you've been with us, it makes it easier now for me to explain. The term zakat, remember, is a general term for any kind of donation. In fact, the term sadaqah, that in our time, our modern time, we use it more for a donation, a recommended charity, for general charity, in the language of the Quran is more often used for what we call it in our faith today, zakat, obligatory zakat. The first ayah that was revealed to the Prophet in the month of Ramadan, the second year after migration of the Prophet that we spoke about last night, خُدْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, he's talking about zakat al-wajib, because the Quran says take from them. A donation is not obligatory, it's up to you whether you want to drop anything to the donation box or not. See, the term sadaqah is used. Also, when God talks about the use of zakat, again uses the term sadaqah. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, all those eight groups that are mentioned. Sadaqah in that ayah also is talking about the obligatory zakat. The term zakat that you see in the ayat of Makki and ayat of Madani, repeatedly mentioned along with namaz, zakat is a general term. I told you the term is used because literally it means trimming a tree. In the religious sense, it means trimming your extra wealth, that it is not yours, it's not mine, God has entrusted us with. Whether it is zakat in a jurisprudential sense of it, whether it is a donation and charity, whether it is your enfaq, anything that you give fi sabilillah for the sake of God, or it is khums. So we have a general term called zakat, and that general term has different applications and different examples. An example of it is what we call it today, zakat. An example of it is what we call it today, sadaqah, infaq and khums and such examples. Proving that the term zakat, even in the language of the riwayat and by the imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, is used often referring to the khums, is a hadith that when Imam Jawad alayhi salam in his letters, that's a very good evidence that our fuqaha benefit from this quite relatively long hadith in the book of khums, they benefit from this hadith, is the letter that Imam Jawad alayhi salam has written to the questions of Ali ibn Mahziyar, one of the very eminent narrators. In that, when Imam Jawad alayhi salam is talking about the significance and the benefits of khums, the Imam refers to the ayah, خُدْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Although this ayah is about what we call it today, zakat, but you see Imam Jawad refers to that to prove the legitimacy and the benefit of khums, that when you give your khums, this is a purification for you, this is flourishing for you and your wealth. We have on the, besides that, we have riwayat in the language of the imams, often they were referring to the khums. You see that the person comes and is asking the imam about khums, and in reply imam is using the term zakat. That and many such examples shows, and our fuqaha, they have concluded that the term zakat in the Quran is a general term, number one. Number two, the frequency of a command in the Quran doesn't make it more or less significant necessarily. For the same reason that we have only one ayah in the entire Quran telling us about the obligation of fasting, ayah 183 of سوره البقره یا ای الذین آمنوا کتب علیکم الصیام. There is no any other ayah in the Quran about the obligation of fasting. Can we say that fasting is not that of significant because there's only one ayah in the Quran for it? It's not just frequency of something necessarily shows the significance. The name Fir'aun is mentioned in the Quran many, many times. More than the name of some of the prophets. Should we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has given preference and has a status? What kind of logic is this? Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed one ayah in the Quran about the obligation of something, any obligation, as a slave of God, that should be enough for me. Imam Hadi alayhi salam, he says that the chapter of Khums, the topic of the Khums and the discussions about it, hadithuna sa'abun mustas'abun la ya'malu bihi wa la yasbiru alayhi illa mumtahanun qalbuhu bil iman. It's the word of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, that the Imam says that discussion of Khums is one of the discussions because it comes to money. Before I translate the hadith, let me go to a footnote, make you smile a bit. It's okay, we are close to 8 time. A poor person was sitting on the road crying. Someone had bought fresh bread, passing by, saw that the guy is sitting crying. Out of sympathy, he went and sat next to him and said, "Brother, what's wrong with you?" He said, "You know, I'm penniless, I don't have anything, and I'm embarrassed to go back home. I don't have, my family are starving. And that's why I'm sitting crying here." The guy started crying out of sympathy with him. The poor tenant said, "That why are you crying?" He said, "I'm crying out of sympathy with you." He said, "You don't need to cry. Just give me one of your bread and I'll be fine. I don't need your tears, I need your bread." He said, "Don't touch my bread. I'm happy to cry for you until morning." Now, really sometimes, unfortunately, some of us are willing to cry for Imam Hussein alayhi salam all actually Muharram, Safar throughout the year. Read majlis for Imam Hussein, and I cry for Imam Hussein as much as possible. But as long as Imam Hussein is not demanding a penny from me, as much as Imam Hussein is not demanding a drop of blood from me or anything, crying is not expensive, it doesn't need much. Especially alhamdulillah at our time, that going to the majlis, the sheikh will be looked after, the audience, there is a niyaz and food, that's pleasure. Come on, this kind of majlis is so pleasant to go to, both for the speaker and the audience, with all respect. At the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that they wanted to hold a majlis for Imam Hussein, a reciter's life would be in jeopardy and in danger. That was a big deal to go and recite majlis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And perhaps nowadays in some countries that really the Shia is under severe taqiyah. Anyway, coming back to the hadith, Imam Hadi alayhi salam says that the topic of homes is such a difficult topic because money is involved in it. لا يحتمله, no one will stand it except a moment, and no one will be patient on it or act upon it unless a moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested his heart with iman and has passed the iman. We mentioned last night that when it comes to donation of money, this is the borderline between mu'min and munafiq. Munafiqeen, because they don't want to support the Muslim community, they are only giving lip service to Islam. When it comes to supporting financially, he doesn't want to support, therefore they step down. Now, the ayah that we have in Surah Al-Anfal about the homes is the following, وَعَلَمُوا, lo and behold, no. Already by وَعَلَمُوا, this is getting the attention. Attention please, attention please. It's just like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could start just أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَدْ وَعَلَمُوا, yani attention please. That shows already the significance. أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ in Arabic, we have أَنَّمَا, that means verily, and we have أَنَّ plus مَا. This, although when you read the Quran, أَنَّمَا is written together, but in real it is أَنَّ plus مَا. Therefore we translated that verily, surely. Again, that verily, surely, in English we don't use it usually. How we start the conversation? In Arabic it's very common. Usually they start the sentences with these to emphasize of the significance of what I want to tell you. مَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, whatever that you benefited, of whatever. غنمتم غن و غن in Arabic language is opposite of الغرم. There's a hadith that the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم says in a business من له الغرم له الغرم. In any business the one who gets the benefit gets the loss as well. Yani when you are doing a business there's a possibility of benefit, profit or loss. Okay? So ghon means any profit. From what? Booty of the world, treasure trove, mines, my income, men shay'an. Anyone with a bit of Arabic would understand. Anna ma ghanimtum, whatever profit that you made, men shay'an, from whatever. From this, our fuqaha, they have said unanimously, this is one of the principles of belief in Shia, that khums is not limited to the booty of the world, the spoils of war, unlike what majority of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah they say. Proving that is Quran says min shay'in. Quran could have said annama ghanimtum min harb, for example, from the war. But it says min shay'in, from whatever. In any way that you made a profit out of any kind of transaction, that you earn some profit, فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَ. Subhanallah, أَنَّ already was mentioned in the beginning. وَعَلَمُ was mentioned for the ta'kid emphasis. أَنَّ initially was mentioned meaning verily. Again here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats أَنَّ for emphasis. فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ. One fifth of it belongs to God. It's God. لام here we say لام الملكية. It belongs to God. فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ. And who else? وَلِلْرَسُولِ belongs to the messenger. وَلِذِ الْقُرْبَى and for the near of the kin of the Prophet Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam that we are talking about. And the Rawayat supports this, that you are talking about Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet and who Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam are. I wish you had, I had a presentation or a screen to show you, or if you can visualize it later on, refer to this ayah, because there are some technicalities in it that I don't want to delve into it much, but it helps us have a better understanding of the ayah. I read it, please, at least you hear it. Anna lillahi, remember this lam. Anna lillahi khumusahu, walil rasul, walil qurba. That lam al-milkiyah, we say this lam is for possession, is repeated for Allah, for the messenger, and for near of the kin of the Prophet. This is half of the use of the khums, receiver of the khums. The second half, the ayah continues like this: "Anna lillahi khumusahu wal rasul wal zil ghurba wal yatama." Doesn't say wal lil yatama, wal yatama, wal masakin, wabn sabil. This is another three. None of them you heard lam. Read the Quran. There is no lam before that. There is no possession. There is a reason for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very precise in his wording. From this, our fuqaha unanimously have concluded that the khums shall be divided into two main portions. One, we call it today sahm al-imam. At the time of the Prophet, we would call it sahm al-rasul. At the time of Imam alayhi salam, we would call it sahm al-imam. Because this second half, the first half that belongs to Allah and the Messenger, so far as the Messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is physically alive, the sahm, the share of God, is given to the Prophet, and he has the share of the Prophet as well. And the share of the near of the kin is given again to the Prophet as the head of the state. As the head of the state, he has the control of it and he owns it. As the head of the Islamic state, he owns it. To us, when we say lillah, of course God doesn't need your money. So when Quran says fi sabilillah o lillah, that means for any godly cause, that's why half of the khums should be spent. Our fuqaha, they say you spend it half of the khums for any godly cause, any cause that you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with. They want to build a masjid, they want to build Islamic center, they want to build Islamic school, they want anything that would benefit at large the Muslim, in particular the Shia community, to be very precise at our time. Anything that the Shia community will benefit, anything that would strengthen tashayyu, anything that would spread the message of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Because we say that if Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif was around, like not in occultation, how he would he spend this Sahm al-Imam? He would spend it for strengthening tashayyu and the spread of tashayyu. Now in his absence, Marja'i Taqlid, as a representative of Imam Zaman, he says that with the precaution I take, the khums that comes to me, Sahm al-Imam, I spend it in any way that would spread tashayyu, strengthen tashayyu, teach and preach tashayyu. Okay, this half is called therefore Sahm al-Imam in today's language, and as you can see, this law is to show that there is an ownership in it. The head of the state owns it. The second half of it that today we refer to as Sahm al-Sada, because it is for wal yatama, the orphans, wal masakin, the poor, wabn al-sabir, the wayfarers. Someone may be fine at home, but for some reason his wallet at Hajj was stolen and he has no access to money. He needs money and he's Sayyid. These three on the condition that they must be Sayyid. Paternally they must be related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. You can give Sahm al-Sada to them, but they don't own it. There is a reason in that law is not mentioned. That means a poor Sayyid, an orphan Sayyid, a wayfarer Sayyid, cannot demand more than the expenses of 1 year, because the definition of the poor is that he doesn't have enough to survive over a calendar year, one financial year. Anyone who doesn't have enough to live over a year, whether potentially or really, this person is poor and you can give zakat al-fitr to. Now he say it, you can give from the khums to him as a sayyid, but if he would own Sahm al-Sada, lamb was there for ownership, you could like pay him for 10 years in advance. One of your relatives say it, and you want to pay his rent for 10 years to come, you can do that. You can only pay up to 1 year. Because a poor Sayyid does not own the khums. He is only the user of the khums. And therefore until next year. Whereas you pay your khums to the marja, and maybe the money that he receives for the spread of Islam, he doesn't need all of it to be used in this calendar year, in this financial year. Maybe he will use it 5 years to come. It's fine. For the now do you see the reason of that lamb? So many rules will be deducted from him. فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْغُرْبَى and then وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ. If you believe in Allah, this is the law and this is the rule. Now, when it comes to the where khums should come from, as I told you in the beginning, between the Shia and between the Sunni, we have a difference. All Fuqaha'i Shia unanimously, that Shaykh al-Mufid rahmatullah alayhi, he says this is ijma'ul ummah, ijma'ul ta'ifah. This is the unanimity of all the Shia scholars, for the reason that the ayah clearly, as I explained it, says, and the rawayat supports that, it says that it is not limited to the booty of the world. Sunnis, they say that ghanimtum al-ghanima, it means the booty of the world, literally. We say, no, it doesn't mean booty of the world. Booty of the world, spoils of war, is one of the meanings of it. For the reason that ma is mentioned, men shay'in is mentioned, and the rawayat that we have for that. On the top of that, if you steal your stomach and you insist, no, it's only for the booty of the world, nothing else. Then we say, if this is the case, how come that when it comes to mine and treasure trove, you also, ulama sunnah, they say there is a khums involved in it. You have to pay the khums. If you discover a mine, you have to pay the khums of it. We say, if ghanimtum is the booty of the world, the ayah is not talking about mine. Where do you get this from? They say from the rawayat. Say, aha, so we can refer to the rawayat. If we can refer to the rawayat, we can refer to the rawayat as well. But even without the rawayat, honestly, give this ayah to an Arabic speaking person who is not Muslim even. An Arab, no Muslim. And tell him that, what do you understand from this ayah? It's very clear. Then, they turn on and they say that, well, you have some rawayat that says the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam waive the khums for the Shia. And they say that the Shia, they don't need to pay the khums. said, "Ajeeb. So you know about our riwayat now better than us. Let's go to the riwayat and check." We go to Wasail al-Shia. He's right. There are so many riwayat that it seems the imams, they have waived the khums and they say that you don't need to pay your khums. So what is this sheikhs and maraji are telling us that they are taking 20% of our wealth? This is what, why I tell you, brothers, and I've been telling you that, please, just because you see a hadith in a book of hadith or Bahar al-Anbar or books like these, you cannot say that this is an article of faith, this is what I believe. There are so much technicality involved behind it. First of all, without going to this ahadith, because yes, there are numbers of this ahadith study. Before going to this ahadith, I have a question for you. The duty of the Imam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, any of the Imams, with all respect to them, is not to come and change halal haram or haram halal. Huh? Even the Prophet did not have the duty. The command is coming from God, the messenger is delivering the message. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt are delivering the message that they have received from the Prophet, explain it and protect Islam. Impossible for Imam, Ma'asum Imam, to say that what God had said an obligation, I waive it for you, don't need to pay. So already you have to understand that this ahadith, there must be either fabricated or must have another meaning that I don't understand. Not necessarily fabricated, maybe I don't understand the meaning of it. Because impossible for Imam Sadiq alayhi salam to say God said that khums is an obligation, but I waived it for you. This would be as incorrect as saying that God says that salat, namaz is an obligation, and Imam Sadiq said, I waived it for you, don't need to pray. Does it make sense? So let's have a second look. When we go to this riwayat, we see that most of this riwayat are narrated only from Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. When it comes to Imam Ridha, Imam Jawad and other Imams, they were fully backing that you have to pay the khums. They had in fact wakala, representatives in different parts of the world collecting the khums. So why is it that Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam have said to some of the companions, that's okay, you don't need to pay the khums, don't bring the khums? I tell you why. Khums, 20%, as I said in the beginning, was given and is given to the head of the Islamic State in an ideal situation at the time of the Prophet and any of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. The tyrant rulers of Bani Umayyah and Bani al-Abbas were watching on two issues mainly. They were really spying on the Imams. Number one, whether any weapon comes and goes to them. Second, source of income. In today's world also, security agents are watching what? The money transaction, where the money comes and goes. Why there is a sanction on Iran? Economic sanction, because you know the throat of the government is the finances. So because they were controlling the Imams in terms of finances and 20%, imagine a mine is discovered and 20% goes to Imam Sadiq. Imagine a war and 20% of the booty of the war and the annual income of the Shia community. Imagine that the treasury that Imam Sadiq would have. Imam Sadiq would be financially so strong that he can really have an uprising against the government. The governments didn't want that. And because of the taqiyya situation, the time of Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq is the time of the end of Bani Umayyah and the beginning of Bani al-Abbas. So there must be situations of taqiyya for the safeguarding the lives of the khums payers among the Shia. If he takes his khums money to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he would lose his life. Perhaps, this is camera problem. Perhaps in some countries, and I don't want to be explicit, there are some Shia that they say that if we want to pay our khums, our marja, whether in Iraq or in Iran, it's illegal, it's against the law. What are we supposed to do? We can't send it to the marja. And you know, this is a real example. They contact the office of their marja, and their marja says that spend it for the sake of the spread of Islam over there. Doesn't say don't send it to me. Doesn't say that I waived it. The obligation is there. the obligation is not waived. You don't have to send it to me. Spend it in your local area for the spread of Islam in a wise and in an intelligent way. You can send it, don't send it. At the time of Imam Sadiq and Imam Baqir al-Salam, it was like that. Otherwise, we have authentic riwayat, and I'll share with you only one of them, is Salawat ala Muhammad, to see that Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A man from Shiraz. Shiraz is a city in Iran. And maybe from this you gather that Iranians, they didn't want to pay homes. Wrote a letter to Imam Ridha alayhi salam and says that, I have heard from my ancestors, the time Imam Baqir, Imam Sadiq, that your ancestors have been sometimes waving the homes. Does it apply to us? Could you please wave it? He's a businessman. The Imam says, "Innal khumsa aununa ala dinana." No, this is the support of for our religion. It's not waived. لا تحرموا أنفسكم دعاءنا. Don't deprive yourself of our prayer. فإن إخراجه مفتاح رزقكم. To remove homes from your wells, this is the key to your sustenance. وتمحيص ذنوبكم, purification of your sins. وما تمهدون لأنفسكم ليوم فاقتكم. You are sending this money, preparing it for your hereafter, as we spoke about it last night. والمسلم من يفي لله بما عهد إليه. Muslim is the one who fulfills the covenant he's had with God. وليس المسلم من أجاب باللسان وخالف بالقلب والسلام. To become a Muslim, to become a true Shia, it's not just because I love Imam Sadiq, Imam Hussein, Imam Ridha, Imam Zaman. It's by practice as well and giving the words. So there is no doubt that Khums was not waived in the sense of saying that you don't need to pay. In certain situations, at the time of certain Imams, for security reasons, they said, don't bring it to me. In as much as they ask Ali ibn Yaqtin, that even in your bedroom you want to pray, pray the way that the Sunnis pray. Even in your own home, in your bathroom, you want to make your wudu the way that the Sunnis make it. And Ali ibn Yaqtin was surprised, boy, I was supposed, even in my own bathroom, I do it the Sunni way. Later on, the Imam says, because I heard that the Gaon has put some spies, some eyes on you, even in your house. And your namaz, your wudu, everything is in order. That is your duty. That's how you have to do. That was your duty, how you have to do it. On the top of that, if we say that Khums is waived during the long time of major occultation, look at the disaster. Really look at the disaster. Such a great portion of the wealth of the community that could be spent for the spread of Islam will be waived. Number one, this is a loss for the tashayyu', for the spread of Shia. Number two, the reason that Khums is mentioned, that we say that orphans and poor and wayfarers of the Sayyid, is because it's a well-established fact, even the Sunnis, they have this, that zakat cannot be given to the Sayyid. A Sayyid cannot receive the zakat. Now for zakat al-fitr, if you are not Sayyid, you cannot give your zakat al-fitr to a Sayyid. We know the rule. So non-Sayyids receive the zakat, but the Sayyid, they cannot get the money from the zakat, the poor Sayyid. And we have said that the khums also is waived. You don't need to pay the khums during the long time of major occultation. You are telling me that the poor Sayyid should be deprived. There is no portion from Baitul Mal for them. Khums is waived and zakat, they are not eligible to receive zakat. You now tell me, who is behind this conspiracy? Isn't this a conspiracy against the children of the Prophet, against the Sayyid? So we got to be very careful. Don't just pick up a hadith and say that I saw this hadith in Wasail al-Shia and it means that I don't have to pay the khums to justify it. Al-insanu ala nafsihi basira. Everyone should know himself, herself better. Really, what is the motivation behind that? I don't have time, but this one I really wanted to touch on it because I was requested to touch on this. When talking about khums and zakat, the famous opinion of our fuqaha throughout the history about the use of the receivers or recipients of zakat is that the items of zakat, on what zakat applies to, the obligatory zakat, The Quran clearly mentions, and the riwayat also they mention that zakat applies on the four crops: wheat, barley, raisins, and what do you call it, and date, and three livestock, that is camel, cow, including buffalo, and sheep, including goat. All right, and each has its own benchmark that you read it in the Risale Amaliyye. This is 4 and 3, 7. Two more is gold and silver coin, gold coin and coin of silver. In the time of the Imams Ahlul Bayt, the currency was in gold and silver coins. The riwayat that we have is that zakat applies to gold and silver coins. Now our maraji, they say because the currency today is changed, this note that you have today is not gold or silver. It's we call it, doesn't have a real value. Gold and silver has a real value. This currency doesn't have a real value. Alright, that's why zakat doesn't apply on the notes in replacement of gold and silver. And gold and silver, because no longer they are the currency, like the jewelries that ladies they have, she and Sonny, they say zakat doesn't apply to it. There's one more item, and that is the capital of the business. Sunnis, they say for the capital of the business, homes applies to it. The famous opinion among the Shia, because of the riwayat, different riwayat that we have, the famous opinion is that the homes doesn't apply on the capital business. Majority of our fuqaha throughout the history, they say it's mustahab, however, to pay 2.5%. It's not wajib. There is a minority that they say it's not even mustahab, because the riwayat that we have that says you pay it are contradicted with the bulk of other riwayat that they say that there is no zakat for the the capital of the business. There is a minority of minority, such as Ayatollah Sistani Hafizahullah, that he says that according to obligatory precaution you pay. So we have three opinions among the Shia. Absolute majority, they say it's not wajib, it's mustahab. Minority, they say it's not even mustahab. The riwayat that you say, they say that you pay the zakat of the capital of your business are said taqiyatan, because they are in accordance to the fiqh of sunnah. There is a minority of the minority, that is the opinion of Ayatollah Sistani, that he says obligatory precaution. Simple language I had mentioned before, obligatory precaution, it means that I was not convinced either way. If you want to take the precaution, give 2.5 of the capital business, as long as 1 year has passed over it with the conditions that they have in fiqh. But you have the option of going to another marja. Go to another marja and see what he says. Subhanallah. This is, you know, someone, as I told you, spends 50 years of his life, 60 years of his life on fiqh, and still at the end he says obligatory precaution. And this is why it's really upsetting me. Someone all of a sudden walks in and has not even access to the original text of these books, has taken it from somewhere and says, Islam says this. Brother, relax. Please take it easy. The money of Sahm al-Imam, since his, the name of his eminence mentioned, let me share with you one memory, good memory really I had from him. A couple of years ago, I had the honor of visiting Amirul Mumineen Imam alayhi salam in Najaf al-Ashraf, and I went also visited his eminence Ayatollah Sistani. Discussions that we had, issues, very useful points he shared with me. One of them that I can share here, he told me that, Agha, you know, remember that this house that I'm living in is not mine, it's a rent. Your marja doesn't own a house. He said, doesn't belong to my sons either. And this is a hadith from Imam Hadi, that Imam Hadi says, whatever my dad owned as an imam belongs to me after him. Whatever that his personal asset will be distributed as inheritance. Ayatollah Sistani says that this is not my house, I'm just living here. If I'm not mistaken, he said that it's a rent. All the money that is under my name, collected under my name in accounts, like his son-in-law, Ayatollah Sayyid Jawad Shahristani, Sayyid Kashmiri, and others, the main wakala that collecting, He said, all this money collected under my name, no single cent is mine and no single cent belongs to my heirs. Anything, he's talking to me, just sitting next to each other. Anything happens to me, goes to the next marja. All this money, asset, wealth will be transferred to the next marja. Al-alam fal-alam. This is the lifestyle of our fuqaha, our ulama, our scholars. Yes, you see the account, the digit is so big. Alhamdulillah, they have to be like this. For Australia, we have been having fundraising for supporting the displaced Iraqi people. I suggested to them, at the time of the occupation of Iraq, 2001 or so, and now this year in Ramadan as well, I said, all the collections, we send it to the office of Ayatollah Sistani. Even for Zakat al-Fitr, I always say that it's not wajib, it's mustahab, but I prefer to send it to the office of Ayatollah Sistani. Our maraj must be supported. These are our authorities, highest authorities. Our authorities must be supported. And the distribution has to go from the office of the marja. You imagine that in Iraq, people should go or they have to receive, you know, donations from the office of Ayatollah Uthman Sistani, not Sheikh Mansour or Kada Kada. Who are we? They should get it from the marja. It's the marja who is representing Imam Zaman Ajalla Farajah Sharif. So supporting our marja is supporting Imam Zaman Ajalla Farajah Sharif. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ya Allah, where should we go tonight? I was thinking tonight to take you to a dark place. The evening of Ashura, I haven't spoken to you about the evening of Ashura. What a painful evening. If you just imagine the scene as I describe it, we are talking about 30, 40 children, most of them girls, some boys, all now orphans. They have lost their fathers, brothers, uncles, Allahu Akbar. Ladies in the tents are all widows, lost their, almost all of them, lost their husbands or their brothers. You could smell on the plain of Karbala, you could smell, Allahu Akbar, the blood of Shuhada. In the afternoon of Ashura, after they slain and beheaded all the martyrs, Umar Sa'd al-La'in, he cried, Man yantadibu lil Hussein, Allahu Akbar, I want some volunteers to come and ride their horses on the body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Look at these grudges, look at this animosity. Historians have mentioned 10 horsemen, they volunteered themselves to ride on the holy body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, crushing the body, and then looting the tent of Ahlul Bayt, the household of the Prophet. Inside these tents, the daughters of the Prophet are there. Already you have killed their men, what else do you want? Because they were after the jewelry of these girls. And then the following day, they take them, put them on the camels without any saddle, taking them to the city of Kufa. Zainab Salamullah Alayha, she is narrating the scene to us. She says, as they took us through the bazaar of Kufa, imagine the scene, I'm talking to you about the daughter of Fatima, about the daughter of the Prophet Zainab Salamullah Alayha. She says, and this is the Kufa, the capital of her father. She says, as we're going through the alleys in the bazaar of Kufa, people were throwing the loaves of bread to us, like sadaqah, like charity. Zainab is telling the kids who were starving, hungry, she's telling them that the kids, the girls, boys, don't touch the bread. This is the sadaqah, it's haram on us. A lady turns around and says, who are you that charity is haram for you? She says, Ana Zainab bint Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ala la'natullah ala al-ghum al-zalimin wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yan'galibun ila arwahi al-mu'minin wal-mu'minat و شهداء و صالحین و موتاکم رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحه مع الصلوات.